with you tonight. It's something that the Lord gave me while I was away. Which I'm telling you, this is so cool. Over the past couple of weeks, the Lord's been drawing my attention to a couple of parables of Jesus. And they're familiar. One of them is the parable, I'll read the scripture to you. Matthew 13:33, it says, "He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three..."
Well, thank you, Lord.
"Which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened."
That was your back.
I didn't know I hired a sound effects guy.
Oliver, keep doing it.
Oh, thank you, bro. I need to laugh. All right. So, have you ever heard that parable before? It talks about the leaven and putting the leaven in the dough, right? I need to know how many bakers we have in the house that know what we're talking about when we talk about yeast and we talk about leaven and bread and all that kind of thing, right? Good. So, the question I had, you know, as the Lord drew my attention to this parable, the question that I had was, Lord, why did you choose this analogy to describe the kingdom of God? Now, I mean, I think we all know the stock interpretation, which is basically, well, you know, the kingdom of God, it infiltrates and spreads, and, you know, and that's, you know, really the thing. But, you know me, I'm not satisfied with just the obvious kind of thing. I'm like, Lord, is there something deeper here that you want us to understand about the process of leavening or, you know, the work that the yeast does? Okay? And so I started thinking about it. I went online, because I'm not, you know, up on all this stuff, right? And I said, I need to understand what exactly yeast does when you put it in dough. Okay? So, you know, we start out with what? The flour, and we add water to it. Right? That's the first thing. You add flour, you add water, and it becomes dough. Right? Has anybody ever tried to eat the dough?
I did when it's sweet, when I do the cookies.
Well, not the sweet stuff. I'm talking about bread dough. You ever try eating that stuff?
It's gross.
It's nasty. I mean, it's like, you know what they use dough for when you don't bake with it? Anybody know what they use it for?
Pizza.
Paper mache. It's like glue, right? Who wants to eat this, right? So without the yeast, it's pretty useless, right? It's like, ew, what am I going to do with this junk? So you add the yeast, and all of a sudden, wow, something amazing happened. So here's what I found out about, hey guys, shh, thank you. So here's what happens. When you put the yeast in, right, there's three things that happen. It causes the dough to rise, right? You've heard that before, right? But this is how it does it. It breaks down the complex molecules in the dough into simpler ones, and in that process, it releases carbon dioxide and alcohol. I had no idea. You could get drunk off of fermenting dough.
That's why it's in beer.
You can. But it releases carbon dioxide and alcohol, which expands and gives the dough shape. I like science, so this is a little nerdy for you. Just bear with me, all right? Number two, it strengthens the dough by increasing the level of gluten. Now, gluten's got a bad name recently because people sometimes can be allergic to it, but without gluten, you don't get bread. Do you know that? You don't, if there's no gluten in the dough, you're not going to have bread. Number three, it breaks down complex starches and proteins into simpler sugars and amino acids, and that releases powerful flavors and aromas. Did anybody know this?
Yes.
Oh, shut up. Did you really know it?
Yes.
I'm serious, Tom. Did you really know this? Wow. We have a bona fide scientist in our midst. I'm telling you, I'm impressed. Because honestly, that stuff I didn't know, right? But this is what the yeast does in order for the dough to become usable as bread, right? So, I'm saying, all right, Lord, what's the prophetic interpretation of this parable. What does the yeast represent? Immediately, grace. The yeast is a representative of the grace of God. And what is the grace of God? It's the presence and power of God made available to you and I, to every single person, 24/7. That's the grace of God. And so yeast represents that, right? What about the flour? What does that represent? Well, Jesus, in telling this parable, said that she put the yeast in 3 pecks of flour. And one of the things I've learned over the years is when I'm interpreting stuff, many times the number 3 can represent us because we are a tripartite being, right? Body, soul, and spirit. So I believe that the first interpretation of this flour, this dough, is you and I. And that the grace of God is being applied into our lives to bring a transformation. Because the yeast totally, thoroughly transforms that dough into something different. Right? Once you've leavened that lump and you've baked it, it's nothing like what it started out to be. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Right? So I'm asking the Lord, all right, so what does all this represent? Okay. Well, you put the yeast in, and what happens? The dough begins to rise because of the chemical reactions and everything that's going on. Well, that represents what? It represents the new life. It represents us being resurrected with Christ and as a new creation, you know, as having a new nature, having an identity as a son or daughter of God. That's what it's representing. What about the gluten deal, right, where it strengthens the bread? Well, how does that work? Well, the grace of God enables us to have what? Greater intimacy with the Father. Enables us to encounter His presence and love. It gives us an unshakable faith in Him and trust in the Lord. We're strengthened by grace, right? How about the last one? Flavors and aromas. What does that represent? Anybody think that freshly baked bread is one of the most amazing flavors and odors in the world? You ever just cut it open or break open a freshly? I mean, come on. It's like, that's got to be a little bit of what heaven smells like. That'd be right. And so, what is that? What are we talking about here? We're talking about the uniqueness of each one of us. Why? Because do you know that if you were to analyze the aroma of every single loaf of bread, what a job that would be. That's almost as bad as the metal detector guy. But if you were not analyzing those, you would find that each bread actually has a slightly different aroma. Why? Because there's different things in it. Maybe some impurities, maybe some different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's unique. And you could almost like say it's like a fingerprint. The aroma of a particular loaf of bread is that different from another that you can analyze it like that, right? So how does all this happen? How does the yeast transform dough into bread? Does the dough have to do anything? No. It doesn't. The dough has not, it just has to receive, doesn't it? The dough simply receives what the yeast is doing to bring about transformation. Does that sound like grace to you? God's at work in each of our lives to bring us into a place of transformation. He wants to help us to become so settled in our identity as a son and daughter. Right? He wants us to become so strong in our faith that we never doubt anything that He says. Or anything that He's doing. He wants us to become so aware of our unique giftings and callings and destiny that we'll never, ever fail to move forward and see that happen. Because why? My destiny brings Him the greatest glory I can ever give Him. See what I'm saying? So, When you're trying to do this stuff with the yeast, right? You want the yeast to work its way into the dough. What kind of environment do you have to put the dough in so that that happens? Anybody know?
Warm.
Gotta be warm, right? What else?
Dark.
Dark, okay. So let's say I put the dough in the freezer, it's dark in there. Not gonna work, right? How about if I put the dough in the oven before the yeast had a chance to work? No, it's not gonna work. So there's an ideal environment where yeast can work. And since we're talking about yeast as the grace of God, what's the ideal environment? This is what I love about this. What's the ideal environment where the grace of God operates at its maximum? Anybody know? This is easy. Huh? A heart that's open, right, and to receive it, exactly. But God creates the ideal environment where His grace operates to the max. And it's called unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, no judgment, no condemnation. That's the environment in which His grace works. You know what? When God wants to give us an upgrade in our experience of Him and knowing who we are in Christ, does He beat you up because you're not there yet? Anybody ever have that experience?
Oh, you're a dirty rotten sinner. I'm not going to love you anymore.
If that's the experience you've had, we'll cast out what's been doing that to you, because that's not the Lord. He does not operate like that. His environment where grace happens, where grace is released to free you into your fullest identity in Christ, into the strongest that you could ever be in your faith and trust in Him, into the place where you recognize your unique identity in Christ and what you're meant to do to bless the world, happens only in His divine environment of unconditional love, acceptance, without judgment, without condemnation. How many of you think this is good news?
Yes.
So, how about this? This flipped me out. God was saying to me, you know what? This, what you're seeing here, could be described as a grace infection. Right? Because we think about yeast, right? It's almost like the yeast is infecting the dough. And it's changing it as it goes in and as it moves. We're a grace infection. He's a grace infection for us, and we're a grace infection for others. How many of you have ever made sourdough bread? A few of you. What do you need for sourdough bread? But what's typically how you start a sourdough bread thing? Okay.
Start a starter.
But you need a starter. That's what I'm thinking about. I know you probably, forget the trees, man. She grinds her own flour. She goes out and gets the salt block and basically makes her own salt crystal. The starter is the cheap way. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Typically,
it's the shared way.
This was back in the day. I remember this. Back in the day, people would pass around these little baggies that had starter in it. And you would use that to then do your own sourdough bread. In other words, the person who had, it's like the chicken or egg. Who started it first, right? But somebody had
Patrice started it.
Patrice started it. That's what it is. Patrice started it, and somebody took a piece.
Or you can start with just flour and water, but it takes time.
It takes time.
Right.
And in America, we don't want to take time. We want it now. Gotcha.
They called it friendship bread.
So you would get this little piece of starter dough, and you'd stick it in your dough, right? And what would happen? That starter would infect your dough. And after how long did it take? Do you remember?
Well, you had to age it yourself.
You had to age it.
And then take a piece of that and share it again.
Right.
So I think it was like a week.
It took a week for that starter thing.
You had to add all this sugar and crap.
Infect your piece of dough, and then you would take a piece of that before you baked it,
right.
And then you would pass that on. So you know what? You know what God showed me? He showed me sourdough evangelism. Sorry.
You missed...
I was on vacation. Give me a break.
You missed a key word.
You're expecting something like, well, that's so profound. Oh, my God. No, I'm serious. Sourdough evangelism. If God is moving in me and you with his grace in an atmosphere of unconditional love and acceptance with no judgment or condemnation, and he's affecting transformation in every area of my life, guess what? I get to do that for other people. I get to do that for other people. I get to be the sourdough starter for them by simply loving them unconditionally, accepting them for who they are, not allowing myself to come into a place of judgment or condemnation, even though they may be jacked up to the full. You know what? I don't have to treat them like other people treat them, right? I get to be a grace infection for them. That's it. To me, this just blew my mind. This kind of stuff, for me, helps deliver me from whatever religion is still left in my thinking. Because let's be real. We all know people that we look at them and we just want to smack them and judge them and condemn them. We just, come on! Right? Let's be honest. And so with this, I'm like, you know what? I have a whole new reason now to be like him. Because I want to be a grace infection. I want to release his power into somebody's life through that unconditional love and acceptance and no judgment, no condemnation. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So here's the question. How many of you know right now that you need and you want an upgrade in your life, whether it's in your identity as a son or daughter, because maybe you've been struggling about that? You know, does God really love me? Does he really accept me? Am I really, you know, his? Is he disappointed in me? Is he upset with me? Is he angry? Maybe that's, that whole thing still bothers you and weighs you down. If so, you need an upgrade of grace regarding your identity. Maybe you've been having problems, really, struggling to believe the promises that God has made you. Right? And you know, it's like, oh God, it seems like it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Lord, what's going on? Why is it taking so long? Whatever it is. You're having problems really staying secure and strong in your belief and trust in God in your life. You need an upgrade. Right? And what if you're in a position where it's like, God, I don't feel like I'm ever going to make a difference in this world. I'm never going to amount to anything. You know, who am I? You know, I'm not. I really don't have much to offer. It's a lie. Every single person's destiny is unique and powerful because the Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So you need an upgrade regarding what your destiny, what your purpose, what your calling looks like. So as we you know, come together to worship tonight, I'm going to invite any one of you that you want this upgrade, or just come and let's just stand in this presence tonight and let's allow the Holy Spirit to just pour into us the grace in whatever that area is that you know is not right. It needs to be upgraded. And let's allow him to do that. Is that good? Amen. Do you want to share something? Sure, come on.
You missed some good stuff.
Yeah, as the people come up, like I said, it really struck me when you said, when you talk about the starter, because he's a kind of a dope.
D-O-H?
When you decide to make sourdough bread from scratch, you take a little flour, let's say a cup of flour and a cup of water, and you put it in a mason jar and you sit it on your shelf. and you want it in that heated place, and think of us, okay? And you put it in that heated place, and the bacteria from the air infects it. That's what turns it over 6 weeks' time into a starter. Day and night. If I get up in the morning and I feed that starter, at night I have to scrape some off. Scrape off half of it, in fact. Throw it in the trash. Put some more flour. Put some more water. And I do that day and night. Day and night. Day and night for 6 weeks. Then you have what we call the mother or the starter. And as Russ said that, I'm like, oh my God, we are those people who put in that time. We are those people who have gone in deep. And not that nobody else in the world is, but we're the ones that are going in deep so that other people can start off from a further, you know, position. So by the time we get to them, they don't have to deal with half of the stuff that we had to deal with, because we come with just something extra for them where they don't have to do all the work. We become that, like, that starter that was started from scratch for them. And that just really touched me.
That's awesome. So I think my wife also has something she wanted to add.
I don't know.
So yeah, all the bakers are now coming out.
Well, he didn't ask me on the
No, when he was sharing that, remember, whenever you use yeast and you add the warm water to it, that is what activates, and that is what I think the Lord does to us. We activate and we pour into others, and then when the dough rises, there's some recipes where it has to be punched down. And I just think that's the learning process the Lord is taking us through. But after it's punched down, it rises again.
Yeah.
And then when the dough is ready to be put in the oven, it becomes very elastic and stretchable. And I think that's what he uses us to do as well.
Amen. That's awesome.
Thanks, Dave.